This morning, our Easter story comes to us from the Gospel of Luke. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but they went in, and they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home amazed at what had happened. Through these words, God's voice is heard. Let us pray. Gracious God, we live in a world where not everyone finds it easy to believe. Not everyone finds it easy to believe the stories of our faith. Remind us, O God, that we are the ones who have the story to tell, and tell it we must. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. While I'm talking this morning, just in case some of our younger members don't care to listen, I have something for them to do. I'm going to be talking about how important it is for us to tell the Easter story to our friends. So while I'm talking, there are coloring sheets at the back. If anyone wants to grab a coloring sheet, and you know I'm going to include adults too because I know, sweet, now I can go on forever. Thank you, John. You know, if any of the adults, I know coloring's a thing for adults these days too, so if any of the adults want to go to the back and get a coloring sheet, the thing is now we're going to know who you are. So, because what we're going to be talking about telling our story, and sometimes it's helpful, especially for younger folks, but not just for younger folks, to, you know, have a picture that they can use to tell their story. So I'm going to invite people this morning, when you go home, when you're with family at dinner tonight, maybe at coffee hour, to tell the story of Easter, and tell people what it means to you. So I don't remember the exact details, but I remember grade six. I remember grade six partly because that was the year girls were first allowed to wear pants to school. Anybody else remember that year when we finally could wear pants to school? But in the Maritimes, at least, they had to be part of a pantsuit. You couldn't just wear a pant at a top and top. It had to be a suit. It was a very exciting year for me. It made climbing trees at recess way easier, for sure. But I also remember grade six because it was the first time in my life that I was accused of lying. I don't remember exactly what the story was, but I know as a class we had raised money to be used for a certain charitable purpose, and our music teacher used it for something else. I challenged her. It didn't unfold well. And she pulled the worst card of all on me. "You know, Sheila, as the minister's daughter, I thought you would know better than to lie. Now, I'm sure that's happened to all of us at some point or another. Someone decides that we've just made it all up. Apparently, it happens to Mr. Trump all the time, eh? But when it happens to you, and you actually haven't lied, then you have a serious choice to make, don't you? Do you allow yourselves to be silenced by the one who thinks you're just telling idle tales? Or do you continue to tell your story because you know it to be true? I really feel for those poor women who were the first to make it to the tomb. In Luke's gospel, the fellows accuse them of telling idle tales, and they have to see it for themselves. In Mark's, they simply just don't believe them. In John's gospel, when Mary comes back and tells the fellows that they've seen the risen Lord, the guys take off running for the tomb to see it for themselves. Just couldn't take the word of the women. Because we all know, don't we? You know, women have nothing better to do than make up idle tales. But thankfully, over the years, the decades, the centuries, despite questions, despite doubt, despite uncertainty, the story continues to be told. And we still don't give up telling the story. Even when people today tell us it's just an idle tale, it's make-believe, we continue to tell it, our version of it, because like the gospel writers, we all have our own understanding of, our own version of the story. For some of us, it's very much the facts that matter. It's the literal truth. And that's the story we must tell. For others, the facts don't matter quite as much because it's more the metaphor that you hold on to. Darkness to light, despair to hope, death to new life. For others, perhaps it's even more vague. It's something about love, something about forgiveness. That's how the story touches some people's everyday lives. Some of us tell the story of our faith with great enthusiasm, knocking on doors, bubbling over with joy, almost bursting at the seams to tell the story. Some of us just whisper the good news, and others, well, some others wait to be asked. But no matter what version of the story is ours, no matter what our style of storytelling, even in the face of opposition or ridicule or doubt, we still need to tell it. Because stories that are told and told over and over and over again don't fade from memory. I feel for those women who got to the tomb first. It must have been so hard to be met with less than an enthusiastic response. But that's life, isn't it? There's always someone waiting to poke holes in our story, determined to make us doubt the validity of what we hold dear. Those people will always exist, some well-meaning, some not so much. And even we ourselves, as we will hear next week in the story of Thomas, even we ourselves will have moments of doubt and uncertainty. And we'll tell the story differently over the years. Just like all of our life stories, our faith story will change as the circumstances of our life changes. Sometimes we'll tell it out of doubt and fear, other times with deep gratitude and joy. Eventually, we'll tell it, knowing that there will be few chances left to tell it, because we're drawing closer to seeing face to face and to knowing clearly the love of our God. But we as individuals only tell part of the story anyway, because we're only one voice in millions. And so this morning, I invite you to join with me in proclaiming with one voice the story of our faith together. Now, I always say when we recite a creed, we need not believe every word. It might not be our story from beginning to end, but as one of the creeds of our faith, we recite it together because we are part of the community of the Christian faith of all time. So I'm going to invite you to take your Voices United, the red hymn books, and I'm going to ask you to turn near the back to page 918. This is something we don't do much anymore, pick up our hymn books, but I think it's good for you to see what's in there sometimes. So near the back of the hymn book, page 918, and I thought this morning we would recite together a new creed, which is not the newest creed in the United Church. The newest creed is a long one called A Song of Faith, and it would take us probably 15 minutes to read that together this morning. So I invite you, if you found it at the bottom of page 918, and I invite you now to stand with me as we recite our creed together. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.